Good Wednesday evening to you. It is good to see you once again as we continue our study in Acts chapter 15. I know the last session was a little bit long. I do apologize for that. So much stuff to cover. And so let's get started with a word of prayer. Almighty Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the day and the blessings for bringing us here to study a portion of your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for Jesus Christ who died upon the cross. We pray for the sick, Heavenly Father, for those who are suffering, from those who are had loss in their families. We pray, Heavenly Father, say thank you for our freedoms. And we pray, Heavenly Father, we always stay faithful to you. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let me share my screen really quick. All right. There we go. And so we are in verse 22. Remember we left off apostles there said to not to partake of things that were from idols and stay away from sexual immorality and from not to consume blood. So we talked about that, okay? So in verse 22, we're still continuing our meeting here in Jerusalem. Verse 22, when it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who is also called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. All right, so it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send men of their own company. Now, remember, Paul and Barnabas had come down from Antioch and to down to the source of these Judaizers spreading this false doctrine of circumcision for Gentiles. So they're sending people back. That gives Paul and Barnabas more authority in a sense, saying, hey, we do recognize their authority and what they've been teaching you. So it does show that. It's a show of force in a sense. Remember, Peter took six people with him to the Cornelius conversion. And so that way he had these witnesses. So this is a smart doing on their part. It is not undercut Paul in any way or even Barnabas in any way. All right, so we see that. And we see that the send these chosen men of the company, Antioch, Paul, Barnabas, Judas. Judas was a pretty common name back then, although I don't know anybody would name their child Judas today because the connotation of Judas Iscariot. Silas, seems to be a contraction of the name Silvanus. Or Silvanus, like Lucas is for Lucanos. And Acts, he's always called Silas. In the epistles of Paul and Peter, he's called Silvanus. So they're going from direct emissaries from James and the Church of Jerusalem, and Judas would have done great weight with the Jews in Syria and Cilicia. So they're going on this with them. All right, so they wrote this letter to them. So this is important. Now, these are to the brethren in the Gentiles there in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Cilicia is in Turkey, or modern-day Turkey. It's called Asia Minor in the New Testament. And Antioch, Syria, so this is a big area, and they're sending this. Let me move this so you can see this a little bit better. So they wrote this letter to them, the apostles, the elders, and brethren. This is those of Jerusalem. It's giving the weight of the full church, the church at Jerusalem. And so it's the apostles, the elders, and the brethren. So we see a plurality of elders in this church at Jerusalem. So we see that. To the brethren who are of the Gentiles of Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. So apparently there's no elders yet of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. I'm not saying I have definite proof of that, but it sounds that way to me. And they offer greetings. Since we have heard that some went out from us, have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to have sent chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. excuse me, we have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by the word of mouth. excuse me, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. You abstain from the things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. All right, so this letter is really great. First of all, they're talking about some of these that went out from us that troubled you with these words. So here's the thing on that. So this word troubled comes from a word can also be translated subverting. And this word doesn't occur anywhere in Scripture or even the Septuagint. Okay, and it's speaking of a person who moves and carries off all the goods and furniture from a house he's quitting or he's leaving. Okay, he's vacating. Basically saying this person vacated the truth. And when you don't teach the truth and you vacate the truth, it is you're murdering the truth in a sense. You're murdering somebody. You're destroying their soul. And so that's some force that I think sometimes we get away from that idea. We don't want to murder our souls for eternity. We don't want to end up in a lake of fire for eternity. So we see here it's talking about disturb, throw in confusion, and turn upside down. He's saying we didn't give any such commandment of this. We did not authorize this doctrine. All right? So they're unsettling your souls. It's not just unsettling you, it's your souls. We're talking about it because this is a spiritual matter. This is an eternal matter. Unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law. We gave no such commandment. They came down from Judea. We didn't tell them to do this. This is something they did on their own, and they're unsettling your souls. Unsettling your souls, spiritual matters that are not truthful should unsettle your souls. All right? Should get you thinking. Verse 25, it seemed good to us being assembled with one accord. All right, remember we talked about they were disputing earlier in the chapter? But when Peter got up to speak, they started falling into place with one accord, remember? So anytime that people offer their opinions, you got disputing. When they go to the Word of God and they go to the Holy Spirit, the inspired Word of God, then we have accord. We have unity, and that's what we're looking at. And he says to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. So we're sending these chosen men to help deliver this message. So you know this is the real deal. Peter understands this concept really quite well because he took those six guys with him to Cornelius. So he knows how to have people cover his back, okay? Again, notice Barnabas and Paul when they're writing this because they were more familiar with Barnabas in their eyes because they've been a Christian longer, and he had brought Paul to him and said to him, hey, he's been converted. Remember, that had happened earlier. Even though Paul's in good standings, we still see this in that sense. And there's nothing wrong in that. And they're paying a compliment to Barnabas and Paul. They're men who have risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, even Paul or Saul of Tarsus risked his life for Lord Jesus Christ. All right. So this is, they have good standing. Paul told them what they've been preaching to, and told the group at Jerusalem what they've been teaching the Gentiles. Okay. So we see that. We therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by the word of mouth. So we're seeing extra authority here. Hey, not just sending these guys back with this letter. We're seeing back people who you can count on saying, yeah, these guys are the real deal. Okay. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. This is important because they would have known who the Holy Spirit was. Remember, the Holy Spirit was the one who gave the gifts, the different gifts of things. So we see authority here, all right? And it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit approved this and to us. You know, we're in agreement with the Holy Spirit. Remember the verse earlier, it just said, with one accord, you're in one accord with not only each other, but with God. To lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Meaning we're not going to add extra things to you. We're not going to add another standard that you have to achieve for salvation. Okay? And this standard, remember I talked about this standard goes back to the creation. that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, or from sexual immorality. God, this applies to us today. Now, it's easy for you to look at that, at you and me to look at that. I'm not trying to point a finger at anybody, and please forgive me. But things offered to idols. We have idolatry in our society, left and right. It's huge. Just because we don't have a 90-foot tower of Nebuchadnezzar or statue of Nebuchadnezzar doesn't mean we don't have idolatry. It is everywhere in this society today. From blood, consume blood from things strangled and from sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is all over the place here in modern-day United States. And, of course, they write, if you keep yourselves from these things, you will do well. You know, he's saying, this is enough. If you can do this, obey the gospel, you're doing well. This kind of gives them an idea, where they stand. And everybody kind of wants to know where they stand. If you keep yourselves from these, you'll do well. You'll do okay. And the Holy Spirit said so. And he says farewell. It's a greeting. So I think this is a wonderful thing, okay? So we see this message from the Jerusalem church does not require circumcision. And that should be a load off their back in that sense, you know? And so we see this. All right. There we go. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch. When they gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. And when they read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after that, they stayed there for a time. They were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good for Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. So we see when they came to Antioch, they gathered the people together, delivered the letter. The letter would have been read in church service, okay? And here's the important thing. A lot of these people would not have been literate. Book of Revelation talks about a blessing on the person that reads this letter to you. These epistles that Paul and Peter would send out, we read it, that makes up the New Testament. They would have had somebody read these because a lot of people were not literate back then. And so, blesses the reader that reads these things. So we see this. So they gather together because this is an exciting thing to get this letter and to hear it. And when they read it, they rejoiced, over its encouragement. This was an encouraging letter that they don't have to go get circumcised, that they're not required to. And, you know, as a Christian, you're not going to be going after idols. You're not going to be going after, blood products because when we take the Lord's Supper, that cup represents the blood of Christ. So you're not going to be going after those blood products. And of course, of things strangled, and of sexual immorality. As a Christian, you're going to try to observe God's word. Now, Judas and Silas themselves being prophets also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. So we see, that these guys, are not just people who are good Christians, but they had, the gifts of prophecy. And so they can tell, things to these, the members of this church that's going to strengthen them. All right. And that. So we see the triumph of Paul and Barnabas over these Pharisaic opponents was complete now, right? And we see, these, Judas and Silas helping them in this. Silas, as we learn him and of course Paul themselves are both Roman citizens. So we'll see that. All right. So, we see this, letter from the Great Council of Jerusalem, in a sense that happened. And I think it's very important for us to realize the impact this has. And it still impacts our lives today. And after they stayed there for a time, Luke doesn't tell us how long. They were sent back with greetings, so evidently they had greetings. We don't know if they were written or just oral from the brethren to the apostles. And so, we're seeing brethren. We're not seeing elders and brethren. Remember the letter said the apostles, elders and brethren, talking about from Jerusalem to the brethren, like at Antioch. Again, we're not seeing elders mentioned here. I'm not saying that it's definite, but it sounds like to me they had not had elders established here yet. However, it seemed good for Silas to remain there. He would become Paul's preaching partner very shortly. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch teaching and preaching the word of God with many others also. All right? So they're doing God's work right there in Antioch. So that's important. To know. All right. So let me hit a button over here. All right. So we see that they are remaining and teaching there. Now, Paul and Barnabas are remaining there. But remember, Paul's original thing was to take the word of God out to Gentiles, right? So he's going to be thinking about this. He's going to be thinking about this in a sense, right? He's got the question settled about the authority of his preaching, of the message, getting about these Judaizers. Do they have authority? No, they don't, because they're teaching false and spiritually deadly doctrine. And so it's very important there. So we see Paul and Barnabas remaining in Antioch at this time. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city which where we have preached the word of God, or excuse me, the word of the Lord, and see how they're doing." All right. So this is important because to make sure people are being faithful. Yes, granted, there's going to be other Christians that traveled those areas and that such and those things. That people that we don't know about, sure. But when Paul and Barnabas want to go back in these areas and do encouragement, help them teach, help them grow, right? So we see in that sense. And we see that Silas had stayed some time from Jerusalem there in Antioch. And so Paul's wanting to go out and teach these, go back and visit these people he had preached to and that. You know, it's, you think about our gospel meetings, and we have gospel meetings from preachers that visit us years before, right? But they come back, and in a sense, we may even have somebody who used to preach at Wesleyan come back and do a gospel meeting sometime. And those things are encouraging to us. They encourage us. They hear that fresh voice once again. And those things are encouraging to us. So we can understand this concept here. And also, we can think about what Paul and Barnabas were wanting to do is make sure these brethren are firm in the word, that they are educated in the word and are able to teach and take it forward, okay? So we see this. And we see concern for these young converts, all right? So this journey was undertaken for the prime purpose of revisiting the churches where they had labored, right? And it shows the single focus on which the apostles had watched for the welfare of the congregation. And they had zeal for the congregations. Yes, they wanted to go out and spread the word of God to others and teach others anew, but they also were concerned about the existing ones. Because a soul saved is someone we want to keep faithful. And so we want to keep existing people faithful and add on people. So we see this. And there's the button. Now Barnabas was determined to take with him John called Mark. Now John Mark was his cousin, all right? And John Mark would also be the author of the Gospel of Mark. And the Gospel of Mark was basically, penned by Mark as quoted by Peter. Peter told him what to write. So it's that. And so this is who John Mark is. John Mark also, remember his mother, when Peter was in prison, they met at his mother's house. Rhoda was a servant, and they met there and prayed for Peter's release when Peter was in prison earlier in the book of Acts. So we know a lot of information about John Mark. You can gather here, he's kind of young. He went with Barnabas and Paul on their first missionary journey, and he had backed out at one point, went back home to Jerusalem. Now, we don't know the exact reason on that, but we can kind of put two and two together a little bit. So Barnabas was determined to take with him John called Mark, and this is his cousin. But Paul insisted they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with him to the work. So Paul was being pretty straight on this. This guy, hey, he left us. He left us high and dry in Pamphylia, and he had not gone with us to the work. Pardon me. And so Paul's concerned about this. You know, if you got somebody who's not willing to carry the load, they're an extra burden. You know the old saying, if you want something done right, do it yourself, in this sense. So that's why Paul's kind of thinking, John Mark's not willing to carry his share of the burden, so why take him with us, and that's what his thought is. Sadly, in verse 39, the contention became so sharp they departed from one another. Now, this is, even though it's sad that they had a disagreement, we're going to see Christians do have disagreements between each other from time to time. Now, most of the time when Christians have disagreements, they can look at the magnitude of it and go from there and put the love of the other first in that sense too. But we see sometimes there comes a point, your disagreement, you're not going to agree. You're just going to have to agree to disagree. And I hate to use that phrase, but that's kind of the way it is. So the contention became sharp. This doesn't mean they hated one another in that sense, but it's an unpleasant feeling in a sense, okay? Both Paul and Barnabas each consider the reason for their own preference to be a good one, and they're not willing to yield for the sake of remaining with each other. And so they should have parted in perfect peace, and I believe they did. So there's this controversy. So it was a degree of passion about this. Paul did not feel like that John Mark was going to stick with it, okay? He just didn't feel like he was going to stay with the task at hand. And I think Barnabas was kind of wanting to take him along, keep him at his shoulder since he was his cousin and that thing, is my opinion there, all right? So even the best of men let me rephrase it, the best of Christians can have disagreements, but the good Christian in circumstances will be distinguished by the readiness by which they will quickly either repent or try to, out of love, to settle things. So we'll see that. What's interesting is Paul doesn't always stay that way about John Mark. He doesn't always keep those feelings about John Mark, okay? We know that afterward, Paul felt very differently towards John, for in his first imprisonment at Rome, he mentions him to Philemon as a fellow laborer there present, and to the Colossians as one who had been a comfort to him. And during his second imprisonment, he writes to Timothy, "Take Mark and bring him with you, for he's profitable to me for the ministry." So the slight heat that had been between Barnabas and Paul had subsided, and John Mark earns his keep, in a sense, with Paul. Paul been a staunch critic. However, when John Mark does the work, and evidently he has, Paul was ready to say, hey, he is profitable to me for the ministry. Paul's quick to forgive and be understanding and love. So we can see contention between them. Yes, there was a contention, but Paul had enough love in his heart that when John Mark did things right, he loved him. He didn't hold it over him and hold a grudge. All right. So we see that. All right. So we see it is a partiality here. And of course, I think Barnabas kind of pushed having John Mark on this next journey because he is kinfolk. And maybe that was it. Paul kind of felt uncomfortable about that because he didn't see any performance out of John Mark that was notable and did not want to carry the dead weight. All right. So we see that. All right. So then the contention became so sharp they departed from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Remember, that's where his home area. He was originally from. Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So remember, Luke spends quite a bit of time with Paul, going on to the end of the book. And so, we see that Silas is also with him. And so being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. So the brethren, are commended. They're supporting his efforts to preach. And it's by the grace of God they're doing so. Okay. So they're doing that. So he chooses Silas. Remember, I told you early Silas, is a Roman citizen. He's also referred to as Silvanus. And so, we see that. And he's a good, co-worker in that sense too. All right. So Paul thought good, to do this. All right, so we have so we see that later in Colossians 4:10, we see where there is forgiveness and love from Paul towards John Mark. And that's a good lesson for us today, that sometimes Christians make mistakes. Sometimes they can make bad ones, but we should be willing to forgive and love. All right. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. This is an important point because Cilicia is, or Antioch is in that area. And we see that, and we see that whole area there, strengthening the churches in that area. The gospel has spread, and spread a lot. And also Cilicia, that is Cilicia is where Paul's originally from. And so he's going to his home area. Unfortunately, we don't know much of the luck of the effort, I guess you would say, that he had in those areas. I often kind of wondered about his nephew there towards the book of Acts being in Jerusalem. He is there for a Jewish event. But I often kind of wonder there about that too, because his nephew comes to see about him and help him out. And so there's a good relation there between Paul and his nephew. So I kind of wonder if his nephew didn't become a Christian. And that's a question I'm going to have to wait and ask Paul and his nephew someday. And I look forward to meeting both of them, hopefully. That's my plan. So we see that. So we see, even after a good deal of uncomfortable feeling and discussion, this is worked out. Unfortunately, they didn't cool down, but it broke out in acute form where they do split. But we do see a reconciliation later. And that's an important thing for us to see. So, and they went confirming the word. You may have that in your version. Confirming means to strengthen, to show evidence of. So we see that, all right? And so that's a beautiful thing right there. And so he went in the regions of Syria and Cilicia. So we're going to end it on this note. And then next Sunday, we'll have the next lesson. Greatly appreciate your time today, and I want to thank you for that. Let me end this right here, and I hope you have a pleasant Wednesday evening and a good rest of your work week. May God bless you.